From Mid-Atlantic Politics, Democrats might actually win Iowa. Updated on May 8 at 5:24 p.m. ET. There are a few ways to think about Iowa. You might imagine America's 29th state as the land of corn and pigs. 20 million hogs can't be wrong, reads my favorite t-shirt for sale at the Eastern Iowa Airport. Maybe you associate it with Field of Dreams, Caitlin Clark, or the future birthplace of Captain James T. Kirk. You might also picture Iowa as flat, like a pancake. But you would be wrong. Iowa is not even in the top 5 flattest U.S. states, which is a fact I was considering last month as I watched Josh Turek size up a daunting set of stairs in a hilly Cedar Rapids neighborhood. At all the other homes, he followed the same elaborate routine without appearing to break a sweat, lowering his body out of his chair and onto the ground, hoisting himself backwards up a step using just his arms, yanking the wheelchair up after him, and repeating that until he reached the doorbell, which is when he would announce, "Hi." After a moment's consideration, the 47-year-old Democrat, who uses a wheelchair, shook his head, deciding against it. It would be the only house that Turek would skip that afternoon as he knocked on doors in the warm spring sunlight. "I'm Josh Turek, and I'm running for the U.S. Senate." In his bid to replace Republican Senator Joni Ernst, Turek is hoping to correct what he believes is another popular misconception about Iowa, that it is a red state. For the past decade, if not longer, many Americans have thought of Iowa this way, and for good reason. Although voters here famously helped propel Barack Obama to the presidency by choosing him in the 2008 Democratic caucuses, they later chose Donald Trump in 3 consecutive elections. Every member of Iowa's congressional delegation is, at present, a Republican. Terrace Hill, the governor's mansion in Des Moines, has housed a member of the GOP for the past 15 years. But lately, a sense of deep frustration with rising costs, with Trump, with Republican leadership in general is rippling across Iowa. As a result, Iowa Democrats have found themselves in an unusually charmed electoral position. This year, they've got a more than decent chance of winning back not just a Senate seat, but at least 2 seats in the House, plus the governor's office. The November midterms could, in other words, mark the beginning of a shift for Iowa, a turn back toward the state's more aubergine roots. Voters are in a mood to send a message, and it's not gonna be a great message. One state Republican strategist, who requested anonymity in order to be honest about this, told me, "At least that's the Democrats' hope. The task will be tough, mostly on account of the math. Active registered Republicans in the state outnumber Democrats by 200,000. But other factors, including a surprisingly strong slate of candidates and the remarkably grim conditions facing Trump's party nationally, have collided to make circumstances for Democrats here sunnier than they've been at any point in recent memory. Iowa is a common-sense state masquerading as a red state," Turek told me after an hour of door-knocking. For the past decade, Iowa Democrats have been repeating some version of this phrase like a prayer or an incantation. In November, they'll have a chance to prove it's true. Turek has an undeniably striking backstory, the kind that tends to stay with voters. Born with spina bifida from his father's exposure to Agent Orange in the Vietnam War, Turek has used a wheelchair since he was a child. After college, he was a professional wheelchair basketball player and a 4-time U.S. Paralympian. Before working for a wheelchair and mobility assistance company, he grew up in a working-class family in Council Bluffs, a part of southwest Iowa that, despite its traditionally conservative bent, his own father voted for Trump not once but all 3 times Turek was able to win when he ran for the state legislature. "I know that I can win Iowa," he told me, "because the district that I represent is more red than the state as a whole. But there is another compelling candidate in the Senate primary, one known to many Iowans as a progressive folk hero." Iowans first met Zach Walls back in 2011, when he was a 19-year-old college freshman testifying before the Iowa House Judiciary Committee about his 2 moms. "As a high schooler, I watched as Walls's young face appeared on the local news and later, on Ellen. His now wife was watching, too, and would catch his attention with a blog post titled, 'Marry Me, Zach Walls.'" Now a 34-year-old state lawmaker, Walls was the youngest person ever chosen to lead the Iowa Senate Democrats. Winning statewide in Iowa will be a hell of a lot harder if Democrats can't be honest with people about the failures of the National Democratic Party leadership, Walls told me. From the March 2026 issue, "Do the Democrats have a plan?" But the truth is that Turek and Walls are not all that different. Ideologically, he stepped down from leadership in 2023 after a messy internal Democratic dispute, and reemerged to launch the Senate bid, during which he has positioned himself as part of a new generation of Democrats who loudly reject the stale maneuverings of one Chuck Schumer. They seem equally likely, at least according to the polling on hand, to beat Ashley Hinson, the former newscaster-turned-representative who is the Republican nominee, which is to say, a little bit likely. Hinson's biggest weakness in November will be the simple fact of her party affiliation, not to mention the pledge she made last year to be Trump's top ally in the Senate, a vow that came before the president's approval ratings plummeted like foreign demand for U.S. soybeans. The Iowa playing host to the Senate race is different from the one I grew up in and markedly so from the one my father did, which is why some of the Democratic campaign rhetoric has taken on a Kodak Gold nostalgia. Jurek, for example, invokes former Senator Tom Harkin's prairie populism at every turn. Harkin endorsed Jurek today while Walz conjures the bygone era of the blue-collar, Rivertown Democrat. For much of the past 50 years, Iowa voter registration was roughly split between Democrats, Republicans, and no-party voters. Governorships passed back and forth between the parties like a pendulum. Thousands of pragmatic Iowa voters repeatedly chose to send Harkin, a Democrat, and a Republican Chuck Grassley to the Senate. But by the early 2010s, amid the rumblings of a new working-class realignment, Iowa Republicans began to outnumber Democrats. That shift cemented in 2016. When once reliably blue chunks of the state turned berry red, and then scarlet, Republicans took control of the state legislature. By 2024, Trump defeated Kamala Harris in Iowa by 13 points. The focus of Jurek, Walz, and every other Democratic candidate in Iowa this year is on what they say are the consequences of that rightward shift. Some of the trends that these campaigners will highlight during the next 6 months include the historically high price of gas and fertilizer, and the fact that Iowa has one of the slowest growing economies in the country. Voters will be reminded that Iowa Republicans banned abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy and implemented a private school voucher program that has undercut public education. They will hear the alarming statistic that Iowa has the second highest rate of new cancer diagnoses in America. Perhaps unsurprising, given the National Party's unique ability to wrest defeat from the hay baler of victory, Iowa Democrats have not managed to gain much traction before now. But circumstances are shifting fundamentally. In a previously unthinkable twist, more Iowans are now more unhappy with Trump than happy with him. Ernst's polling numbers collapsed before she announced that she wasn't seeking re-election, and this year, Governor Kim Reynolds was ranked the least popular governor in the country for the eighth quarter in a row. Against